A light held by a statuesque woman. White letters on a black screen. Columbia Pictures presents A Laura Ziskin Production, a film by Stephen Frears. A ticker tape parade, thousands of pieces of paper cascading down the side of a tall building onto a city street below. Dustin Hoffman, Gina Davis, Andy Garcia, Accidental Hero. Joan Cusack, Kevin J. O'Connor, Maury Chaykin, Stephen Tobolowsky, Christian Clemenson, Tom Arnold, Warren Berlinger, Heidi Huffman, Susie Cusack, James Maddio, Richard Ryle, Daniel Leroy Baldwin. Fluttering Stars and Stripes flags hang from the buildings along the street, which is packed with people waving flags amidst the shower of paper and red, white and blue balloons. Casting by Howard Feuer and Juliet Taylor. Music by George Fenton. Costume designer, Richard Horner. Editor, Mick Audsley. Production designer, Dennis Gassner. Director of Photography, Oliver Stapleton. Executive Producer, Joseph N. Caracciolo. Story by Laura Ziskin and Alvin Sargent and David Webb Peoples. Screenplay by David Webb Peoples. Produced by Laura Ziskin. Directed by Stephen Frears. In court, a judge bangs his gavel.
Mr. Foreman, have you arrived at a verdict?
We have, Your Honor. We find the defendant guilty of all charges.
The bald foreman stares at the defendant, a weaselly little man with untidy black hair who stares back gobsmacked. The counsels for the prosecution and defense approach the judge.
He has no priors, Your Honor, but...
That's misleading, Your Honor. He has no convictions.
Your Honor, request bail be continued pending sentencing.
Bail for this little sleazebag?
He has no priors.
He's already wasted the jury's time, not to mention your time.
He has no priors, Your Honor. No priors.
Judge, knock him in now. You know he's going to go down.
No, Your Honor, he's a very decent family man. He wouldn't...
As discussion continues, the defendant spots his young female counsel's red purse in her open briefcase. While everyone's looking at the judge's bench, the defendant swipes the purse. His counsel returns to his side.
I got your bail continued.
Babe, I don't want my bail continued. What do you mean you got my bail continued?
Don't you understand, Mr. LaPlante, that they found you guilty?
Guilty? What do you mean?
Mr. LaPlante, I've been persuaded in view of your continued employment and your lack of prior convictions to continue your bail under the same conditions heretofore, pending sentencing 6 days from now. In the meantime, you'll make an appointment with a probation officer who will make a recommendation to me regarding your sentence. I urge you to use those 6 days to get your personal affairs in order in anticipation of incarceration.
Bernie mouths the words.
In anticipation of incarceration.
Anticipation of incarceration?
He means prison, Mr. LaPlante.
I know what he means. I'm not a prison kind of guy, Miss O'Day. Listen, you're not doing your job here. You're supposed to be getting me off. Last time, my lawyer got the charges dismissed.
I think that's why the district attorney is being so hard-nosed this time.
What about an appeal?
We don't have grounds for an appeal. What we have to do is focus on the probation officer's report.
He gives a good report in our law?
Well, I think a suspended sentence is unlikely. Now, you still have your job, right?
Yeah. I've been calling in sick. They think I got the flu.
And a son by your ex-wife, Joseph?
A son? Yeah. What about him? Joey.
Are you involved in his upbringing?
Involved? Christ, she attached my paycheck, child support. Why do you think I got a court-appointed lawyer instead of a, you know, more experienced one?
I understand. How often do you see your son?
The kid? I don't know. On his birthday. When was that? May, I think. She don't like for me to see him. She thinks I'm a bad influence.
Well, I think you should see your son and try to get your boss to write a note about your performance on the job. You need to create the impression of a responsible, decent citizen with familial responsibilities who happened to slip up once. And I know that you're having financial difficulties, Mr. LaPlante, but I was wondering if the money that I loaned you last week...
He digs out notes that he's taken from the purse, which is returned to the briefcase.
Some of it.
He hands her notes.
I'll get you the rest as soon as I can.
If you're a little short, it's okay. Yeah. I just don't want to take your last
right.
dime.
Well, so. I'd better keep some of it if I'm going to see the kid for gas and stuff.
Bernie takes all apart from one note back and wanders off. A tiger in a cage.
Wow, look at that one. If he were in there, he'd kill you. Wouldn't he, Dad?
Sitting on a bench facing the cage, a boy of about 10 turns to Bernie.
Yeah, something like that.
The tiger paces. Later, they're in a diner.
You know this guy, this friend that your mother's seeing? What is he, a fireman? Did he ever, just kind of spend the night? What's his name?
Sometimes. His name is Elliot. Saved a guy's life one time in a fire.
Oh, a hero. Well, was he ever in the NAM, this guy Elliot?
The NAM?
Yeah.
What's that?
It was this war, Vietnam. Doesn't matter.
Were you in it? In the war?
You didn't see that picture?
What picture?
Me in my uniform. Used to be over the fireplace. See, what I don't like about public restrooms is you're always standing and piss. It don't matter to you. You got them sneakers on. But I'm standing and piss in very expensive shoes. I don't want piss on them. I want to protect them. It's a breakdown in custodial services.
Look, somebody lost the wallet.
What?
Bernie snatches the wallet from Joey and inspects the money inside. They step into the corridor and Joey heads back towards the eating area.
Wait a minute, where are you going?
Aren't you going to give it to the manager?
You don't want to do that. You give it to the manager, he pockets the dough, throws the wallet away. We'll go out back. Most people who work in supervisory positions, I'm not saying all, are crooks.
What about the check? You didn't pay.
The waiter knows me. I got an account here. Come on. What I'm going to do on this wallet thing is tomorrow when I get to the office, I'll have my secretary phone this guy up. From the name on his driver's license, let the guy come and get his wallet. Make sure you get a reward. You deserve a reward. You want
Excuse
one, don't
me,
you?
Sir, can
reward?
You spare some change?
No way, fella, not a chance. Gotta resist the urge to be nice to those people. The con artists take advantage of the soft heart. A lot of them are financially better off than the rest of us. What you gotta do is you gotta look out for number one. It sounds harsh, but it's a goddamn excuse to vulgarity jungle out there. That's why you gotta keep a low profile, right? A low profile.
Bernie pushes Joey into the passenger seat of his car, gets into the driver's seat, and drives away in the old blue Datsun. Later, Bernie's in an empty bar.
Legal problems? You gotta have a good attorney.
My attorney, she just out of law school, a couple years older than my kid, for Christ's sake.
You got a kid, Bernie? How old's your kid?
9, I think. Maybe 10. Yeah, 10. Nice kid.
You got a 10-year-old attorney, Bernie?
The plump barman smiles.
Can't afford no better. My ex, she attached my paycheck for child support payments.
Two Hispanic men swagger in.
The plant. Bernie, the plant. You the guys that Bunny called?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
One of the men looks through a pile of credit cards.
Nothing now.
He shakes his head.
3 hours is old, man. Very old.
Hey, he might not have reported him at all yet. He might not know for a couple hours.
What does he do, pick his pocket?
Yeah. More or less. Trust me, he's very, very fresh.
Yeah?
Well, to be honest with you, it doesn't make a lot of sense to me either, Miss Cayley. Things seem to be on the upswing. Our difficulties with the SEC have been favorably resolved. In a business sense, I think we've turned the corner.
Mr. Brodman, your wife and children are on their way here. Don't you think you should...
Thank you for coming out here and letting me talk to you.
He steps on.
Oh, my God! Chucky, step down!
The top of a skyscraper.
Did you get it?
The cameraman bounces.
Yeah, I got it.
He looks around excitedly.
Sports training. Learn to follow the ball. Hey, listen. How about you do your wrap-up from up here? I'll pull back from that skyscraper there, find you here, then reveal the drop.
Yes! Suicide number 137 of this year in this city was neither a destitute nor a lonely man, but a successful executive with a loving family and $40 million in the bank.
If there's nameless despair in executive offices, what can there be 60 stories below, where the hungry and the homeless, the brutalized and the addicted, fight their daily battle for survival? From a ledge 60 stories above the street, I'm Gail Gaelic for Channel 4 News.
Chucky ejects the tape.
What'd you think of the fall shot, Chief? The guy drops 20 stories in perfect focus center frame while I smoothly go from F-16 to F-5-6.
Hell of a shot, Chuck. He's beautiful. Parker! Run this down to Fraser. Tell him we'll open with it at 6:11 at 7 a.m.
Bet she pushed him just for the great shot. Blind ambition.
Pushed him? Oh, my God.
Not really.
Oh, he's just kidding, Mr. Wallace. Conklin's jealous because it wasn't his story. Actually, it tore her up because we couldn't save the guy. She wanted to reach out.
Reach out?
Hi, Chief. Like the suicide?
Never reach out.
Hello, Mr. Wallace.
He's right. It's unprofessional.
No, if you reach out, you could get pulled over yourself.
What are we talking about here?
I told him how you're upset we didn't save the guy.
Saving people is not our job. It's just as wrong to step in and save someone as it would be to push him off.
You wouldn't push the guy, would you?
I didn't say I thought we should have saved him.
You didn't?
No, I said I wish it had at least occurred to me to consider saving him.
What good would that do?
It would make me feel like a human being. Besides, it's not a bad story, is it? Newswoman saves suicide?
It's unprofessional.
Oh, you just can't bear the idea of good news.
You're sitting on your ticket.
Ticket? What's going on?
She's flying to New York. She's been nominated for a Silver Mike Award.
Silver Mike? You are covering us in glory.
Well, I haven't won yet. I noticed you had me scheduled on a flight back an hour after the ceremony.
An hour at Deke? For heaven's sake, let's at least give her a night in New York City. I tell you what, we'll put her and her boyfriend up better.
She broke up with her boyfriend. Listen, babe, we need you back. You gotta follow up on the jumper. Find the human interest in the grim, unending woe that pours from the wounded heart of the heartless metropolis.
The dirt, you mean?
That, too.
Would this station put me up in a really good hotel?
Absolutely.
So long, babe.
Okay, to hell with it. Party on, Gail. Is that what they say?
Gail waves as she breezes out.
I'll figure something out. She's pretending to be a person. She's really just a reporter. $50 says she'll be back on the first flight.
Bernie drives a beaten-up white van with Gumley's rug cleaners painted on the side down a busy street. He pulls up by a sign which reads Tow Zone, Disabled Reserved Parking, and heads into the probation department offices.
You know, I don't understand what you mean by technicality, Mr. LaPlante. You were found guilty in a court of law by a jury of your peers.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is the cops didn't follow the correct procedure with the evidence. You know the chain of evidence?
Well, that's something that should have been established by your attorney during the trial.
That's the point. I'm broke. I got this court-appointed lawyer. She's a kid. She don't know nothing.
Mr. LaPlante, my job today is to make a recommendation for sentencing based on this interview.
But what I'm trying to tell you is I'm not a criminal. Buying stolen goods, it's a little technical thing. Do I rob anybody? Do I hit anybody? You don't want to clutter up prisons with guys like me. Prisons are for deaf guys.
The bald probation officer looks away.
I can't do that kind of time. A guy like me, I don't belong in that kind of environment. Give me a break. Look, I got this kid, 9, 10 years old. I'm gonna take him to the movies tonight after I get off of work. He worships me. If I go to the slammer, what's this gonna do to the kid?
I don't have to explain to you how much my cameraman, editor, assignment editor, and news director, to name a few, did to get me this award.
Gales the silver microphone-shaped award down and digs into her handbag.
This is an onion. It's a metaphor for a news story. Only a few hours ago, I was standing on a ledge, 60 stories above the street, interviewing a man who subsequently jumped to his death. $40 million in the bank, happily married, good health. Great story.
She takes out a knife.
But there's gotta be more. I mean, we're pros, right? Some kind of extramarital hanky-panky, maybe? Another great story. Maybe the guy's been accused of child molesting. Ah, terrific story. What? Turns out the accusations were false? Wonderful. More story. Maybe the alleged mistress was lying, setting the guy up, huh? Sensational story. So we keep going. Oh, excuse me. Keep digging, keep investigating. We expose the guy's whole life, his family. Why? Because we're pros. Because we're looking for the truth. But what if it turns out, after all our digging, after all our painstaking investigation, what if it turns out there wasn't any truth? Just stories. One story after another, layer after layer, until there's nothing left. And if it's like that, do we have any obligation to stop at any point? Or do we just keep going, digging, digging, peeling, 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 till we've peeled it all away? Till we've destroyed what we were investigating in the first place?
Motionless people at tables stare in silence. Tears streaming down Gail's face, she leans forwards.
I'll bet all of you, like me, yearn for just one story that isn't about unveiling layer after layer of human weakness. A story that reveals, with each new layer of investigation, something finer and nobler. Something even inspirational.
Gail steps back from the lectern as the people get to their feet. Later, she's on a plane, toying with her award while on an aircraft phone.
Oh, it's
very nice, actually.
She reads an inscription.
For excellence in the pursuit of truth.
Listen, I just wanted you to know that I got a seat back on the early flight after all, so...
Appalled, she drops her bag and the award.
What? What do you mean you gave it to Conklin? Conklin wasn't on that ledge. Conklin wasn't the one the guy wanted to talk to.
Gail, you were going to do the town, remember? Fancy suite at the station's expense, see a show, maybe get laid. What was I supposed to do?
You know damn well I'm not going to hang around New York trying to get laid while you give away all my stories to Conklin.
Okay, you get back tonight, doll. I'll take Conklin off your suicide. Fly carefully. Congratulations on the award.
Deke puts down his phone.
What did I tell you? They're all alike, the good ones. They're junkies for the story. Can't let go.
Bernie and a fat, unkempt man watch a TV, the picture saturated with lurid colors.
You break a bone or something. You're gone. Nobody's gonna pick you up.
Look at the skin tones.
Bernie flicks channels until he finds an advert showing a bronzed woman applying sun cream.
From the most beautiful place in the world.
There you go. Skin tones.
You got a Fisher cut, babe. I wouldn't even do this if I didn't have these legal problems. $95, that's it. I gotta get out of here.
He takes tissue paper out of a shoe and puts it on.
I gotta take my kid to the movies tonight, Winston.
I'm late. My kid's waiting.
How about a watch?
Wanna buy a watch? Same kind I got. Huh? Tell you what. Give me $85 for the machine, the watch. I'll throw in a couple of wheel covers. A case of insect repellent. Here. You need a air filter?
Night. Bernie drives his blue 1970s relic along a rain-swept highway. On the aeroplane, Gail reads a magazine. Bernie slows as he approaches a flashing arrow road sign, indicating a diversion.
Oh, damn it!
His wipers jutter across the windscreen in futile arcs.
Damn it!
On the plane, the seatbelt light comes on.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is your captain. We're experiencing a high reading on one of our indicators. At 10 to 1, it's a malfunction in the gauge, but just as a precaution, I'm going to ask you to fasten your seatbelts while the flight attendants run you through some safety procedures.
First, make sure that your seatbelts are fastened securely. When the captain gives the signal, you will brace your arms against the seat in front of you like this.
She crosses her forearms.
You may use pillows and blankets to protect your face from flying glass and debris. Before you do this, make sure you have removed your eyeglasses and that your ship...
Bernie turns off the main highway and trundles slowly down towards an intersection. Coming to a halt at a stop sign, he peers through his water-drenched windscreen to try to read a direction sign. On the plane, Bill glances anxiously around.
Remember, our biggest asset in an emergency is called clear thinking. All of us, all the crew, have been carefully trained for an emergency such as...
Bernie's car bunny hops up an incline.
Come on! I'm late already! Don't quit on me now!
The car quits.
Come on!
Bernie frantically tries to restart the car, but it splutters to a halt again. He glares incredulously at the dashboard dials before looking around in confusion. The lights from aircraft windows are reflected in Bernie's windscreen. Bernie shuts his eyes, his face lit up with flashing bluey-white bursts of intense light. Slowly he opens his eyes at that, his jaw dropping, his cheeks glowing in the dappled light cast from electrical sparks. The windscreen wipers still trawling across the windscreen. Bernie stares directly ahead, dumbstruck.
Now what?
The car sits on its own on a box girder bridge, its path blocked by the tail section of a white passenger jet, smoke pouring from one of its engines, a red light lazily turning on one of its crumpled wings. Bernie gets out of his car and stares at the wreck.
Hey! Anybody out there?
In the river below the bridge, a stuck aeroplane door is shaken.
What's the problem, pal?
Inside the darkened plane, people struggle to their feet, the air filling with smoke, electrical equipment sparking. A blonde flight attendant shines a torch around.
Stay calm, everyone! Everyone, please, stay calm! Please don't push! Everyone, please!
The fuselage shifts. Lying on the floor, Gale tries to get up.
I can't move. I'm trapped.
Get me out of here!
Hold it, just a minute.
Bernie starts off along a path down the bank, taking very careful steps to avoid getting mud on his shoes.
Please, Daddy! Wake up, Daddy!
A boy shakes a gray-haired man.
Somebody's coming! Hey, mister! Can you give us a hand?
Hold on, buddy!
We're talking $100 shoes here.
On a muddy bank, Bernie's removing his shoes. He wipes mud off the sodden uppers with his hand and then puts them carefully down. Puffing out his cheeks, he steps into a shallow river as he heads off towards the plane, its back broken over the bridge, with its nose resting in the shallow river. Bernie trips.
Help us, please! The handle's jammed! You've got to push on the door!
Bernie gives it a push.
You've got to push hard!
What do you think I'm doing?
Harder! Again! Come on!
He tries pulling.
I'm pushing.
Then returns to pushing. On board, a fire has broken out in the rear of the plane. Gale slips into unconsciousness. Outside, Bernie chops at the door and bashes it with his shoulder. The door flies open, knocking him over.
Come on! One at a time! Don't push!
As Bernie tries to get up, someone jumps on top of him. He tries clambering up again, only to be met with a flood of people stepping on him, like stampeding wildebeest. The boy jumps out. A woman runs up to the flight attendant.
There's a woman back there! She's trapped!
You get as far away from the plane as you can!
A steady stream of people, some hobbling, trudge through the water to the bank where Bernie's searching.
Daddy!
Where's my shoe?
Daddy!
Where are my
Dad!
Shoes? Where is he?
In there, he's hurt!
Listen, kids, the cops are coming to the fire and they got equipment and stuff for this kind of thing. They're experts. Where are my shoes?
Please, sir. Please. It's on fire. He can't move.
With sharp flicks of his head, Bernie looks at the bank, the plane, and the boy.
Oh, for Christ's sake.
His face plastered in mud, Bernie stares at the plane.
What's his name?
Bernie heads back to the door and fights his way in against the tide of fleeing passengers.
Where are you, fella? Fletcher!
He finds a motionless man in a seat.
Are you Fletcher?
He grabs a torch and shines it in the man's face.
Who are you? You Fletcher?
A name tag reads, Freddie King, flight attendant. Bernie drags him towards the door.
Come on. Hey, somebody grab him, will you?
As far away as you can!
Help this guy, will you, goddammit?
Help him!
Get him!
Get him away from the plane!
Bernie wanders back up the dark aisle of the plane.
Where are you? Hey, buddy, goddammit! Mr. Fletcher! Fletcher!
He trips over Gale.
Fletcher.
He shines his torch on her. She stares up, blearily, dazzled by the white light.
My leg is caught. My leg is caught.
Bernie's eyes widen as he spots her handbag.
Can you get me out of here?
Oh, sure. Yeah, I think.
He stares at the bag.
Let me help you there.
Bending, he takes hold of her leg and pushes it out from below the seats in front of her. Quickly, he takes her bag and hides it under his mat.
Give me a hand here, lady. I'm not a goddamn bodybuilder.
By the door.
Get away from the plane! Quickly! It makes me cold!
The flight attendant heads back into the plane, her torch being piercing the cloying darkness, and picking out Bernie staggering towards her, Gale clinging to his back. The flight attendant stands rooted to the spot, dazzled by Bernie's bright torchlight shining right into her eyes.
Give me a hand here, will you, honey?
Bernie stumbles, a fire truck powers towards the scene, passing a fleet of ambulances, and heads onto the bridge, having to stop short of the plane, its path blocked by Bernie's car.
Dad!
A hand is placed on the boy's shoulder. He turns round.
Dad!
Son!
Dad!
My God!
His father picked him up. Gale passed to a fireman at the plane door.
Put on your shoulder!
I got her! You better get out of here! You too, miss!
Watch out!
I've lost count!
Right away!
I think everybody's out!
Watch out! Hey, watch out!
Bernie heads back down the aircraft.
Where are you?
Smoke wafting past, Bernie crawls on his hands and knees.
Fletcher! Hey, Fletcher! Here! I'm over here! Help me!
Where the hell are you?
Oh, here!
Where?
My leg is broken. I need help.
Fletcher, right?
Smith!
You're not Fletcher!
I'm Smith! Please help me!
Fletcher, I'm looking for Fletcher.
No!
Hey, Fletcher!
Don't leave me! Please don't leave me!
Oh! All right! All right. Come here.
Look at...
Hold on. Come on.
Thank God.
The door.
There's another guy in there!
The fireman dragged the flight attendant out.
Get out of there!
Give me a hand there! Come here! Come here!
The fireman races back.
I got this guy! You go!
You go!
There's another guy in there!
Just do not spoon, you dumb shit!
Come on! The guy that's supposed to be a fireman!
Come on! Come on!
Bernie hurries after the fireman who's carrying Smith.
I lost my other shoe!
An explosion throws Bernie clutching a shoe to the mud. A fireman's being filmed.
I need a medic here!
Yes, yes. Angle
I need
up,
a medic!
Fireman.
Dante!
Heroic, backlit. Blazing Inferno, look at that! Awesome! Major award! He stands his ground while capturing images of raging flames with no regard for his own personal safety. Go, Chucky. Go, baby.
Bernie stares at the flaming plane.
Sorry, Fletcher. What a way to go now.
I'm okay!
Lady, you're not okay!
I'm a reporter! I'm
okay! You've got a broken arm!
It's my leg! My leg hurts! Chucky!
It's Gailey! Gailey!
Hold up!
You were on the plane?
It's my story, Hans. I did the research.
Hey, she's in.
Get the flight attendant. The one who manned the door. Also, some guy, a passenger. Pull me out. Talk to him. Then get down to the hospital.
Oh, she's a real piece of work. Unbelievable. It's my story. I did the research.
You wouldn't believe the shot I got back there. Major award. A start in this fireman's face. Fantastic. You know, sad but excited.
Chucky follows James Conklin, the other Channel 4 reporter, as Gail's driven off in an ambulance. Trudging back to the bridge, Bernie checks he still has Gail's handbag, then holds his arms open.
Where's my car?
A police officer approaches him.
My car was right here. Where's my...
Where are you hurt, sir?
What?
Where are you hurt?
Hurt.
Why don't we go over to the ambulance? Let the medical people check you out.
I don't need an ambulance. I'm looking for my car.
Sir!
Must have perked up.
You weren't in your car, sir. You've been in an airplane crash.
Please, let the guardian needs medical attention.
The police officer runs off. Bernie gawps as he spots his car pushed up on one side of the road, covered in foam. He wanders over and whacks at the foam on the bonnet. Model aeroplanes hang from a bim ceiling. In the bed below them, Joey sits watching a small portable TV set. He looks away from the gun battle on screen as he hears something outside. Joey gets out of bed and goes to the Venetian blinded window. Sadly, he watches Bernie's car shaking its way towards the house and shivering to a halt. Bernie gets out and, wearing only one shoe, walks towards the front door. Joey's mother opens the door.
That's not my fault.
It's never your fault. Never, ever. You screwed up my life, now you're going
to
screw up your son's life, and you're never going to accept responsibility for anything ever.
Is he here?
Who?
Your friend, the fireman.
He had an emergency call. A real emergency.
Why don't you let me in instead of waking up everybody in the whole neighborhood?
He shuffles in.
All right, if you let me talk, I'll tell you what happened.
What happened is the same thing that always happens. You blew it. Only this time, you broke your son's heart instead of mine. He was so proud, looking forward to going to the movies with his father, and you let him down like you let everyone down, always. What did you do, take a mud bath?
Bernie nods.
That's what I'm trying to...
Shut up, Bernie!
Oh.
Okay, forget it. Just let me talk to Joey to apologize.
He's in bed, and you're not going to wake him up and make him crazy. Do you understand? He comes home from the zoo, and he wants to know if Elliot's a war hero like you. He wants to know how many people you killed.
Elliot, the fireman.
I had to explain your tendency to exaggerate, how you killed as many people as the other supply clerks in your outfit. No more, no less.
I didn't say I killed anybody.
Whatever! You let him believe it! Then I had to explain about the homeless.
The homeless?
The homeless. How not all of them own apartment complexes. How not all of them play the stock market. How not all of them rent babies when they're panhandling. He's a young boy, Bernie. Impressionable.
A photo of Elliot and Joey.
Listen, Ev, it's important. I gotta see him.
Well, use the phone, Bernie. He'd love to hear from you.
Reasons.
What happened to your shoe?
I've been trying.
No, I don't want to know. Some fantastic adventure, right? Something really crazy.
All I was doing was giving him advice. Preparing him for life. You don't want him to grow up soft, do you, Ev? It's tough out there. It's a goddamn jungle.
Evelyn opens the door.
Well, back to the jungle, Bernie.
Hurt and bewildered, Bernie shakes his head and troops out. Joey peers downstairs as his father leaves. Evelyn shuts the door. Bernie traipses back down the dimly lit path to his car and opens the driver's door, taking the opportunity to clear a fallen leaf off the roof. Settling down in the driver's seat, he picks up Gail's handbag from the passenger footwell and opens it. He takes out the silver mic award, inspects it, and then shoves it into his coat pocket before taking out a refreshing mist aerosol spray. He removes the cap and presses the button. It squirts a fine mist of water into his face. Recoiling, he chucks the can into the back seat. Next, he takes out Gail's brown leather wallet and looks through the cards and cash inside it. Later, he's back at Evelyn's front door. He wipes his nose on his sleeve.
Sorry I have to bother you again. This is for Joey. A reward for this wallet he found. When I returned it, I told the guy that he had to give my kid something for finding it. You know, for the honesty, so the kid would learn how honesty pays.
She stares coldly down at him.
Do you want to give it to him ever? Should I?
She snatches the $20 note. He bumbles off. Later, Bernie pushes his car across a rain-soaked highway. A truck rolls past, followed by an open-topped car full of partying teenagers. A can's thrown at him. Bernie lamely tries to thumb a lift. Later on, he stands at the side of the road.
Hey!
Bernie's in the passenger seat of an old station wagon.
You actually went into it. You went into a burning airplane. Boom! It explodes. You know, I could be dead. But you pull people out. You're a hero. I got the hell out of there. I had the nerve to face the kid. Well, a lot of people would have even tried. It was a brave thing even to try. Yeah, try stupid.
The long-haired driver stands on his brakes as he's about to hit the car in front, and a box of empty cans falls.
Just toss them in the back, please.
The driver throws the cans into the back.
A lot of people would say that's what heroism is. Stupidity.
Bernie throws a can.
Doing something that if you thought about it, you wouldn't do it. It's not in your interest.
He crushes a can.
One more.
The driver reaches down into the footwell and throws the last can to join the rest of the junk in the back.
I guess you kind of got a drinking problem, huh?
I sell them down at the recycling center. It gives me a little bit for gas and food.
Looks like you're living here, for Christ's sake.
No, I do in bad weather, but mostly I like camping in the woods. I thought you were down on your luck, too, when I bit you.
Down on my luck?
Yeah.
Hey, I told you. A goddamn plane fell on me from out of the sky in America. See these shoes? $100 pair of shoes? One shoe.
He puts his feet up on the dash.
You should give it to somebody with one leg.
One leg? Why don't you let me off at the next exit? I could take a bus.
I know a gentleman who sells stuff at the recycling center. He only has one leg. I think it's the right foot.
Yeah, sell it to him. You get a couple of bucks and pays for the gas.
He doesn't have any money.
He puts it in the back.
It's very kind of you.
Down on my luck. Got some mud on me is all. I got a nice apartment. Stereo.
If I had a stereo, we could listen to you on the news.
News? What, are you worried about the stock market?
No, the plane crash. Didn't they interview you?
Keep a low profile. That's my motto. happens I got some legal problems. My attorneys don't like me talking to the media. Now, if you could step on it. I'm supposed to be in my office 5 minutes ago. My secretary has got appointments booked for me, you know, all day. I'm very late.
One word, LaPlatiophage. You got that? One word.
Bill.
Don't say Bill, Bernie. Don't say one word. Didn't I say one word and you're fired?
Right.
You know why? Because it'll be an excuse. It'll be Bernie LaPlante excuse number 4,106. No, 4,112. That's how many excuses you've given me. I keep track of them electronically. I've heard all of them, Bernie.
Bill, I got serious
That's
legal
it.
Problems.
You talked. You're fired. Out of here. Out of here.
I don't understand. You can't find him?
Well, there's a lot of confusion around what took place last night, Gail. It's not clear.
But you said all the passengers were accounted for.
Apparently, the guy who pulled you out wasn't a passenger.
A fireman? A paramedic? He didn't have a uniform.
From what we could get, there's a kind of... sort of a mystery guy involved.
We're piecing together different accounts.
A mystery guy? Not a passenger. Who?
We don't know who he is. He...
he disappeared.
A non-passenger, non-rescue worker, went into a burning plane and pulled me out and disappeared?
Apparently, this guy's the one who opened the emergency exit from the outside.
Everybody. Saved everyone on the plane. Because of him, there were no fatalities. Gail, I don't think you're supposed to be moving around like that. You're attached
Chucky,
over here.
Where's your camera? Get this thing. Bring that.
She interviews.
All of a sudden, this civilian rushes into the plane.
What did he look like?
Oh, it was just his face, all dirty. It just appeared.
He was asking for Mr. Fletcher.
My son and I got separated in the confusion and smoke. The very courageous stewardess at the exit told me my boy had gotten out, so I got out too. But my son had already told this man that I was still in there.
Bernie shuffles along a tatty side street.
I thought my dad was still in there. So I asked the man to save my father.
What did the man say, Richie?
The boy thinks.
He said, I'll save him. He said, I'll save your father.
Gail smiles.
Thanks.
Bernie wanders into his dark green painted apartment. Back home at last, amongst the familiar piles of air filters, wheel covers, insect repellent and bottles filled with a mystery blue liquid. He takes the silver mic award from his Mac pocket and, yawning, slumps down on a grubby beige sofa, staring up at the ceiling, his mouth wide open. In a video editing suite, Gail, Chucky and a couple of others are watching a news report showing a fireman carrying someone.
I need a medic here! I need a medic! Susie!
Go back, you missed it.
The editor slowly rewinds the tape.
Keep going, keep going.
An explosion sucks back on itself.
Back. Now, go forward again. Miss it again.
With a fireman in the foreground of the picture, in slow motion, the night sky is illuminated by the explosion, and the fireman turns to look at the crouching people closer to the blast.
There. Right there.
Man in the distance. Deke comes in.
That's him?
Who else? We've accounted for everybody else. That's our hero.
I didn't even notice the guy. I wasn't in the foreground drama. Heroic fireman looming in the frame.
Any chance we can do some kind of electronic enhancement? Get a clear picture, identify him?
The figure is enlarged, backlit by flames holding something above his head.
Far out. Never seen. It's the camera. It has a life of its own. At times I feel as if we were one. Together, capturing little moments of history in a kaleidoscope of colors and drama.
Deke looks away. Chucky's smile fades. The video is played again, zoomed in on the figure.
There's no face. There's nothing really to work with. Big dots. That's all you're gonna get.
Look at that guy. He just saved 54 people. And now he's gonna disappear. Who is he?
Bernie's asleep on his couch. A TV news report is on in Evelyn's kitchen at Joey's school and Bernie's favorite bar.
I'll save him. He said, I'll save your father.
All of a sudden, this civilian, he rushed into the plane
Leslie, the other flight attendant, told me the guy dragged me to the exit.
Here, give this guy a hand, he said. And the next thing I knew, he was going back in there. And all that smoke.
Out of the darkness, out of the smoke and the fear, came a man with no name, no uniform, but an abundance of courage. A man who was thinking not about himself, but about others, risking his own life for ours. He's out there now somewhere, and whoever you are, I and the other survivors of Flight 104 say, thank you. God bless you.
The blurred image of the man holding something above his head fills the screen. In his office, Deke turns the TV off and blows his nose. Gail, her right arm in plaster, and Chucky are with him. The bald, pipe-smoking station manager, James Wallace, joins them.
It's not bad, but if you gotta wear a cast, you ought to feature it more. It's part of the story. Network's taking everything we give them. They want to feed off our 6 o'clock, whether we find the mystery guy or not. We're very big nationally.
It's a wonderful piece. Emotional. I love it.
We're going to feature Gail's cast more.
Well, my cast is only interesting until the hero shows up. Then whoever has him has the story.
Good reason for you to find him, babe. How come you're here? You should be out digging.
We could help her out, Deke. How about offering a reward in exchange for an exclusive interview?
Money and news, Wally. Dangerous waters. Yeah.
He's right, Mr. Wallace.
Speaking.
First, we don't even know what the guy looks like.
Well, of course you know what he looks like. He saved you.
What?
Right?
They found what?
A phone check with survivors has confirmed that the chute does not belong to any of the passengers or crew of Flight 104. However, several witnesses recall the mysterious man who saved 54 people, referring to his missing shoe. The conclusion is the unknown hero, known to many as the Angel of Flight 104. Where's a size 10B?
Joey Dimmer! Now, turn that thing off! Mom! Mom! He lost his shoe! He lost his shoe! He lost his shoe.
Who lost his shoe?
The unknown hero.
Wash your hands.
They found his shoe right beside the plane crash.
Superman, you mean? Lost his shoe? What next?
Elliot, the man saved hundreds of people.
54. I was there, remember? You know why none of us rushed in that plane, huh? Because we're trained firemen, that's why. Part of a team, a disciplined team. We take chances all the time, save people's lives, but we don't do crazy things. This guy does something really dumb, and he lucks out. So the media go crazy over his shoe, for God's sakes. I mean, what kind of message are they giving to the youth, huh?
What kind of message are you giving to the youth? Sneering at someone for sticking his neck out. You sound like my ex, for heaven's sake, Mr. Cynicism.
So what can I say? Give your ex credit for being smart enough not to do something stupid. Maybe the guy's not all bad. I'm gonna watch TV and hope it's not all this Superman stuff.
He takes a plate of food from the table and walks off. Joey returns.
Mom. My father only had one shoe on when he came here.
You were in bed, weren't you?
I saw him out the window.
Huh. You think your father would do something like that? Rescue people? Your father is Bernie the Plant. It's against his religion to stick his neck out.
Joey looks down sadly. Evelyn inspects his hands.
Sit down.
In the bar.
The warden of a Montana prison insists that the unknown hero is a dangerous child molester who escaped from the institution in April. As far away as Scotland, the leader of a religious sect claims the mysterious hero is, in fact, an angel anticipated in Scripture.
Hey, Bernie.
Bernie troops up to the bar.
How's it going?
You don't want to know, chick. You don't want to know.
Bernie looks around.
Those guys been in yet?
You in business with them guys or what?
Well...
Because, you know, I wouldn't want a problem for the establishment.
No, there. You couldn't have a problem, chick, because I personally have got them all. I cornered the whole market. You wouldn't believe what I've been through. You know, I was taking my car to get my kit.
The two Hispanic men arrive with some friends in tow.
How you doing?
Brought some friends, okay?
Oh, yeah, sure. Excuse me, Jeff.
Bernie heads to a table.
In addition, we bring you a special announcement from Channel 4 station manager, James Wallace.
Good evening. We at Channel 4, like you, have been stirred by the courage and the humanity of this...
So, mi amigo, what do you got there for us? Some more plastic?
Yeah, plastic. Premium stuff here, high limits. Not reported.
How do you know it's not reported?
The
Because I know, trust me on this.
Hey, hombre, he don't even trust his mother. Why are you gonna trust you?
Because I'm not his mother.
Hey, hombre, por aquí.
Then again, like you, we want to see what is best in us. We want to examine it. And for that reason, we at Channel 4 have decided to offer this unknown hero a reward of $1 million.
How many of these you got? 8, 10?
They're gonna give that guy $1 million reward.
Who?
That plane crash guy.
$1 million bucks?
That's right.
Is this all of them? 8?
What plane crash guy?
The one-shoe dude, man. The guy that saved all those people. Channel 4 is gonna give this guy $1 million just for an interview. $1 million bucks.
Bernie's eyes glaze, his lips begin to twitch.
Hey, hombre, we're trying to do some business here. You got one of these?
$1 million?
Hey,
I'm the guy. I got an appointment, I gotta get home.
As he tries to go, the men pin him down and cut him.
LaPlante, you're under arrest. You have the right to remain silent.
Don't you know who I am? Don't you know where I got the plastic? I got a motherfucker from the jail. Oh, my God.
Newspaper headlines scream, $1 million reward. Search for Mr. Cinderella. Who is he? An angel for Flight 104.
$1 million to unanimous hero! $1 million bucks, angel saves 50 people and takes off!
At Channel 4.
If your foot is in a size 10B, don't remain in line. We're only looking for size 10B heroes!
Liar, kick your ass!
Hey, it ain't just me saying you ain't the hero. Everybody in the goddamn line knows you're not the hero.
That's a racist perspective. Assuming that because something heroic was done that a white man done it, a man with mud on his face could be a man of any color. Most likely was, which is true in this case, because it was me. With mud all over me.
Can you believe this? I mean, there must be 1,000 phonies here after my reward.
Scaly, it's me. Look, come on, it's me. I'm the guy who saved your life. Come on, it's me. You remember?
I took only an 8.5, but I wear a 10B for the comfort. I swear. Hey, Miss Scaly, there's a cop looking for you from robbery detail. Inspector Dayton, he wants you to call him.
What about?
Ooh, I didn't ask him.
Call back and find out, okay? I'm really busy. Excuse
me. Wearing a red overcoat, Gale walks past the enormous line of men all waving shoes. Bernie's in court with his attorney.
Bail in this matter will remain at $5,000. Next.
The angel of Flight 104. You're telling me you're the angel?
I didn't say angel. That's a little strong. Listen, here's the thing. I gotta get over to the TV station and get my $1 million bucks.
Mr. LaPlante, I really want to help you with this crazy story.
That's me. I'm Mr. LaPlante, right here.
The DA is asking that your bail be set at $25,000 because you arrested again while waiting sentencing.
25 grand is peanuts. All you gotta do is get me out long enough to collect. Your Honor, my attorney here says the prosecutor there wants 25 grand for bail.
Mr. LaPlante, you'll be silent until the court recognizes you.
Which is fine by me. I got no problem with that at all. In fact, Your Honor, I'd be proud to double it. 50 grand. For the people. You know, like a tip.
Mr. LaPlante.
What do you say?
If you don't stop chattering immediately, I will ask the bailiff.
Court bailiffs whisper a message between one another. One creeps towards police officers and whispers to them under the furious glare of the judge.
I said I want order!
Sorry, Your Honor. We got carried away.
They found him.
Found who?
The angel of Flight 104.
Bernie's eyes widen.
It was on the news, sir. Just now. He's going to be on Channel 4 at noon.
The judge raises his eyebrows.
We'll sustain a bail at $25,000. That ought to keep you out of trouble for a minute or two.
Your Honor, my client is...
Miss, your client is a pain in the ass. 12 noon, huh? Channel 4.
He checks his watch and the courtroom clears. A guard handcuffs dumbstruck Bernie. In a pair of muddy loafers, the man who gave Bernie a lift sits in a TV studio next to Gale.
I was out in the woods. And I heard a huge crash. And I saw flames. And I went over there to take a look.
He's wearing a scruffy gray-green beanie hat, dirty long brown coat, and collarless shirt.
And everything there was like a blur. There was a lot of smoke and screaming. I was actually relieved that it was just a plane crash and I could help.
His face, handsome but grubby and unshaven, he stares at Gale and blinks slowly.
But I don't have a detailed memory of it. It was too scary.
Tell us why you disappeared, John.
Well, At first, I didn't know I was the hero. I thought the boy's father hadn't survived that, and I had failed him, and I couldn't face the boy. And then...
Gail's eyes glisten with unshed tears.
After that, I've been down on my luck lately, and I just didn't really feel too presentable.
But finally, you did come forward. Why?
The money.
He looks down apologetically and then turns to Gail with a smile.
I wouldn't have come forward if it wasn't for the money.
Go back.
The tape is rewound and played back until the smile.
Cut. Right there. Right on that look.
You didn't tell me he was so cute.
Gail gazes at the screen.
He saved my life.
The survivors were shocked to learn that the hero who appeared out of the smoke and fire and pulled them to safety was indigent and tragically hadn't slept in a bed in more than 3 years. John Bubber was living in his car at the time of the nearly tragic crash, eking out a meager existence by collecting bottles and cans in the woods and along the roadside.
Oh, he's a fake.
You know him?
Oh, he's a goddamn fake. He's a bum. He's a goddamn homeless.
He ain't no hero. You can trust me.
Bernie's push. Station manager James Wallace walks into Deke's office.
You know, I thought they'd all go, it's him, and want to hug the guy or something.
Relax, Wally. He had the shoe checked out.
This means I could stop worrying? Where are we putting him up?
Drake Hotel, penthouse suite, and never stop worrying. I figure we'll do a sidebar on what it's like to go from sleeping in your car and collecting cans to sleeping in the poshest suite in town. Also, Gail's on to something, checking into his background, I guess. What's it gonna be, Gailey? Dirt or more poetry?
Well, we all know which one you'd prefer.
Excuse me, Miss Gailey. That guy, Inspector Dayton, he's recovered a bunch of your credit cards.
Who?
Inspector Dayton, that cop from robbery detail who was looking for you. They caught the guy who stole your credit cards trying to
Nobody stole my credit cards. They were burned up in the crash. Which reminds me, we got my money? What about the reservations?
Two at 8 at the Barcelona.
$400 for dinner.
She's taking Mr. Bubber to dinner at the Barcelona.
Bubber to dinner? That's a great idea. Chucky! Come in here, Chuck.
Away, Chief. This is private and personal.
He's a news story, for Pete's sake.
He saved my life.
John Bubber treads slowly into the living room of a huge hotel suite, every available surface covered with gifts and flowers. He stops and stares at a set of golf clubs. He drops his ragged hold-all. He wanders towards a huge display of flowers, including a floral aeroplane with a card reading, "Midwestern thanks you." Turning to an enormous bowl of fruit wrapped in cellophane, he flicks up the scallop shell card attached. It reads, "To John Bubber, from Barbara Streisand." In a daze, John walks slowly into the bedroom and drops his coat onto the floor. He leans over the king-size bed and presses down on the silver-colored bedspread, his hands sinking down into the soft mattress. He opens a closet, a range of Neiman Marcus shoes on display, jackets hanging up above them. Later, John soaks in a jacuzzi bubble bath, eyes closed. He smiles. Scratched into the prison cell wall, the words, "Ask yourself this question, how come I am here?" Underneath the words, Bernie lies on a bench bed, eyes open. John sits in a beauty salon wearing a white gown. A woman files his fingernails, a man cuts his long brown hair. That evening, John and Gail walk into a posh restaurant. The other diners all get to their feet and applaud. Gail in a long blue dress and short-haired John in a dapper mid-brown suit, white shirt and brown fawn-striped tie walk down a staircase into the main dining area. John looks around nervously. They sit at a table, everyone looking at them. John jumps as a waiter flicks out a napkin.
Thank you.
The waiter lays the napkin in John's lap and walks away.
They're all looking at us.
Not us, John. And they're used to celebrities here.
Listen, Miss Gailey, I really...
Gail.
He looks down awkwardly and thinks.
Gail. I didn't mean to, It's not what I wanted, that reward. I didn't really think...
Thank you.
She takes a menu.
All I wanted was a square meal, maybe a bath. A night between clean sheets. I wasn't after $1 million. 20 would have been fine, maybe 50, but what's a guy like me gonna do with $1 million?
Take a look at these prices and say that.
A red mixture is dolloped onto Bernard's plastic plate.
You mess with me, I'll cut you out. I need it.
No, stop it. Oh, you're such a brute.
Behind Bernie, some of his fellow diners discuss the food in the restaurant.
Any good, sir? It's a special privilege to serve you.
Oh, thank you. And you.
You were saying you don't want $1 million?
I'm not entitled to $1 million, Gail. I didn't expect...
All the adulation?
Yes.
Makes you feel like a fake, doesn't
it? Actually, yes. I should have never come forward and presented myself.
You're a credit to the goddamn human race.
Well, I wouldn't put it necessarily.
It could have been me on that plane. Or my family.
Look, you're a celebrity now, John. People are going to want to please you. Or use you. Or both.
As Gail and John prepare to leave, the double doors at the entrance to the restaurant are opened, revealing a scrum of well-wishers, autograph hunters, and press. Policemen make a path for them. John's horrified. He tries to bolt back into the sanctuary of the restaurant, but Gail stops him. As they're pushing through the crowd, John catches sight of a few homeless people. One glances sternly at him. Another lies on the cold pavement. John and Gail reach a waiting car.
Mr. Barber, do you think you could...
The young woman holds out a book.
You want me to sign this?
She nods.
What's your name?
Sylvia.
Sylvia, if I sign this for you, will you do me a favor?
She nods again.
All right, what I'd like is that maybe some of the rest of you can help Sylvia here. I'd like you to scrounge up some blankets. Old ones, maybe 50. Take them down to the corner of 5th and Grand. Pass them out.
5th and Grand?
Yes.
He means the homeless people. The bums.
It's cold out there. You'll feel warmer for every person you give a blanket to.
He gets into the back of the car and Gail gets in beside him, awed by his sentiments. He stares directly ahead. Gail gazes at him.
I bet they'll do it. I bet they'll get some blankets.
In the hotel, a pretty woman in a revealing dress stops John.
What you did was so uplifting. You're a saint, John Barber.
You think so?
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe you should up the support for the needy from the people.
You could support the entire Chicago Bulls.
Good night.
Good night.
I think I better see you to your room.
Okay.
Kind of a bodyguard.
They get into an empty lift.
Could you maybe support a small airfield?
Gail, it's been some time since I received that kind of attention. It's been several years.
Years?
Yes.
Huh. There'll be plenty of opportunities.
Gail, you're a very nice person. I don't want to hurt you.
I know.
You think I saved your life. I can't take advantage.
You did save my life. And that's me. I'd be taking advantage. I'm a reporter. I'm supposed to be a professional.
She leans towards him and presses her lips onto his. Pulling away, she looks into his eyes and then goes to kiss him again, but he shakes his head.
I can't do this. It's not right.
I don't have to write a news story.
He looks down.
A news story, right?
The lift doors open and John steps back from Gail. Slowly, she removes her hand from his abdomen.
Good night.
He leaves the lift.
I know the truth about you, John. I'm flying in some guys from your unit in Vietnam tomorrow.
Vietnam?
Good night.
On a TV screen, archive footage of helicopters over rice paddies.
Smoke. Mortifer. People screaming. We would have all died that day in that little rice paddy. Right there in Vietnam, if it hadn't been for Johnny Bubba.
Why? What did he do?
He pulled us out. He pulled us out one by one.
I wouldn't be given no TV interview. I'd be lying in my grave. Another guy with his name on the wall in Washington, D.C., if it hadn't been for Johnny.
Why didn't he get a medal? Wasn't no officers around to witness it and write him up. It didn't surprise me one bit. He was the one that saved all those people in the plane.
He was always thinking about the other guy before himself.
After an emotional reunion, Bubber's fellow veterans watched as station manager James Wallace presented Bubber with a check for $1 million.
Bernie watches incredulously.
As Bubber reacted to his sudden wealth, word came that the Secretary of the Navy, responding to an urgent resolution of the Senate, has conferred upon John Bubber the Medal of Honor.
You see, when you're out on the streets like I was, living in your car or sleeping under bridges, the worst thing, even worse than the cold or the hunger, is the feeling that you're just plain useless, that you don't matter to a single soul in the entire world. Nobody really needs you, nobody really wants you. So I guess I did what I did because I think I was really trying to save my life more than anything else. I was trying to connect myself with people again, try to be part of the whole. And you have to help others in order to do that.
Winston watches on the set he bought from Bernie.
You need a role to play, even if it's a humble role that gives you self-worth. Don't get me wrong, I'm not one of those crazy guys who says that money's not important. It's very important, especially when you're out on the streets, down and out on your luck. Like I was, a buck can be the difference between life and death. But at the same time, money isn't everything. Even millionaires commit suicide.
Is he like that in real life? So gorgeous?
The editor.
It's pretty remarkable.
Many instances of unhappy rich
people. You didn't get it on with them.
Everything
was ridiculous.
I think a person...
A reporter. Oh, what? Reporters don't have hormones?
Enough to eat.
Reporters have to rise above their hormones.
But after that, he needs to be a person.
The guy is a natural.
He needs to be part of society, and you can be part of society by helping other people.
Winston hits his set.
Who need help? You've helped me. You make me a hero. Makes you a hero.
Even George and Barbara Bush watched the TV.
If we help each other, we can all be heroes together.
We're all heroes, huh?
LaPlante! Bernard! LaPlante!
Eh?
You made bail, Ace.
You lucky!
Well,
come on, let's take a hike.
Lucky they're taking your raggedy ass out of here, boy.
What do you mean? If they didn't reduce the bail, how'd you get me out?
I took a loan on my car.
You paid?
And my computer.
You paid a positive 10%?
I was inspired by the hero, how he stuck his neck out for others, how he took a chance, and...
If they could spy you alone, me, a guy who's been fired off his job, $2,500, a guy who's probably going to do time, you're supposed to be an attorney.
Well,
you're supposed to use good judgment.
Well, as you like to point out, Mr. LaPlante, I am relatively inexperienced. My naivety may have worked to your benefit in this instance.
Well, you're right. I'm glad you got me out. I appreciate it.
He walks on.
Oh, Mr. O'Day. Mr. O'Day, come here. Now that you loan me $2,500+, can I have $20 for cab fare? Please. What do you say, Mr. O'Day?
She smiles and unzips her bag.
I read the probation report and it's not good. I think you're going, Mr. Bernie. I think you're going to prison.
Well,
and
at least I'm
going to
get my $1 million.
He takes the money from her.
I seen on TV where that do-gooder is going to go to a children's hospital, you know, visit sick kids at 3:30. He's a menace. He's got to be stopped. He's making people wacko.
Who, John Bubber?
Look what he's done to you. He's making them wacko. And I mean wacko. Wacko, wacko, wacko.
A taxi pulls up outside the crowded entrance to a children's hospital and Bernie gets out. He runs past the throng of marching band members and a scantily clad majorette as he dashes inside. Now Bernie ambles down a hospital corridor. He passes the open door to a small ward.
When's he coming? I want to see Barbara.
Hearing the children, he steps into the ward.
Jerry!
Yo!
Guy.
Excuse me, may I help you?
Well,
you'll have to leave.
No,
this ward is off limits. If you want to arrange a visit, you need to go downstairs.
A news team enters.
Hi.
Hey, Bubber.
Hi. What's your name, champ?
Jose.
Jose. Hi, Jose. Hi, beautiful. What's your name?
I'm Mandy.
Hi, Mandy. Hi, what's your name?
Cody.
Hi, Cody. I'll be right back.
Hey, Bubber.
Hi.
Can I get your autograph?
Listen, all those people.
Yes,
all those people.
Bernie glares. Bernie tries to push past the guards towards John.
Excuse me, I just want to, you got a press conference?
No, I forgot it. Get your hands off. I asked to leave. What do you need? Talk to the guy.
Bernie's thrown into the corridor. John goes into a room where a boy is lying covered in bandages.
Listen, kid. You gotta hang on. I know you're scared. We all get scared.
John takes his hand.
That's when you have to fight.
Alan's in a coma. He can't hear you.
He can hear me.
John leans down to Alan's ear.
Listen, Alan.
Chucky turns on a TV camera light. John looks around in dismay. Gail moves Chucky back and gets him to turn the light off.
Listen, Alan. I know you're in the darkness in there. I know it's scary. Now the doctors are trying their best, but they can't do it. You have to do it. You gotta come out of the darkness. I want you to struggle for me, Alan. You're a hero. You can't quit. Heroes never quit.
In the lobby.
Come on, this is a hospital. Let's cooperate. Let's keep this area clear unless you have hospital business.
Bernie strolls past the scrum by the lift and over to a cameraman.
Hey, buddy, you're with the media, right? I got a story for you. Bubba, he's a fake.
The cameraman surges forward as John comes out of a lift. Bernie yells at him. John walks downstairs, people lining the way. John stops to kiss a woman and then steps down to a nurse.
Thanks for helping.
Hearing Bernie, John looks back up the stairs but can't see him. Bernie pushes through the people, not spotting the top of the stairs, and falls down. Outside, the majorette leads the marching band towards the hospital entrance, throwing her twirling baton high into the air. Bernie's trampled underfoot on the stairs. A burly minder escorts John to a waiting limousine. On the stairs, he looks up at a police officer.
Don't you tell me what I can or cannot say. This is America. I got free speech.
If it makes you feel better to insult the very brave man who's worth about 1,000 of you, go ahead. Like he says, we're all heroes, pal. Even you.
A flaming TV logo, Angel of Flight 104. An explosion erupts from the stricken aircraft.
Along with 20 of the real survivors of Flight 104. See the real-life participants reenact the terrifying drama inside the burning plane. Out of the darkness, out of the fire, out of a nightmare of fear, came the angel of Flight 104. John Bubber saved 54 people. This is his story and theirs. A drama featuring the actual people who actually lived those moments of terror. No makeup, no music, no actors. This is the real thing. Thursday night, Channel 4. Be there.
Deacon James Wallace walked down a corridor.
What's he upset about?
Oh, said he's not an actor.
Well, he's not supposed to be an actor. That's the whole point. He's a real-life hero. All he has to do is act like a real-life hero. That's the beauty of the concept. That's the whole freshness of it. Did she call him back?
She's talking to him now. Why?
Well, I mean, we paid him $1 million. You'd think he'd want to cooperate a little, help us with our ratings.
They join Gail, who puts down her phone.
How'd it go?
Well, he'll do it. You really should have talked to him first, you know.
Chick, the bartender, watches TV.
Back in the news again, John Bubber. The man who saved 54 people from a burning plane has apparently awakened a young...
Hey, don't blame me for being sore. I know I screwed up for getting busted in here.
A miracle doctors are calling.
You got a right to kick me out.
Young Alan Baird had been unconscious since an automobile accident 5 days ago. John Bubber insisted on talking to young Alan, even though doctors discouraged him, saying the boy couldn't hear Bubba's words of encouragement. 2 hours later...
I'm not going to kick you out, Bernie.
...suddenly and unexpectedly regained consciousness. The doctors, who had believed the boy had little or no chance of survival, now predict a slow but complete recovery. Bubba waved away cameras as he spoke intimately in the...
Thanks, Chick. I appreciate it.
So nobody...
Hell of a guy.
What he said,
but Vietnam. Plane crash. No, now miracles.
Alan himself has yet to comment. A nurse who was with him says his first words were, "Could you ask my mom to make me some pancakes?"
Just a rehearsal. Ouch.
John.
What?
Come here. Come here. And then you lean down and free me from the seat. Remember, I was caught. And you... Like that. Yeah, right. Like that. And then you help me up.
She puts a hand on his shoulder. He reaches round her and hauls her to her feet.
Yeah.
She looks up at him.
Boy, you seem taller. It must be psychological now that I know you saved my life.
Okay, I can't.
John looks up to avoid her gaze.
This is wrong. I can't do this. I can't go through with this.
It's okay.
Bending his knees with his arms around her, he picks her up.
You didn't lift me, though. Wait, put me down. Put me down. Come on. There's more, like you supported me. You're like this.
She hugs his back.
Like that. Yeah. It was kind of sexy. You can support me anytime, John.
Oh, okay. This is no good.
You know what? I just remembered. You were, like, swearing and talking about bodybuilding.
Bodybuilding?
Guys, this has to play serious. This was a very serious thing. John, could you kind of lift her more and sort of carry her like this? That's right. I think it'll play better. I think it'll play better. And, Gail, if your artistic and journalistic integrity can handle it, it'll look fabulous on the screen. Okay, take this all the way through to the end, please. Then we'll put John in his mud makeup, and we'll do a take all the way from the top. Boom, 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 right away, please.
This is not right.
Oh, it's okay. It just looks better this way. I didn't have my purse then, though.
He carries her.
You're an inspiration, John. You're making us better human beings. Less cynical. More open, more giving. Do you realize that?
Yeah.
He turns towards the door, shutting his eyes as though pained.
Oh, my goodness.
Flight attendant Leslie Sugar comes over to John.
Can you leave her here and you go back inside for Mr. Smith?
Mr. Smith. Right.
He turns bewildered.
Mr. Smith?
What would you say if I told you I ran into a burning plane and saved a bunch of people and risked my life?
Chick eyes Bernie.
You mean like Bubber? The hero?
Yeah. Like that, same thing.
Well, I mean, what do you want me to say here, Bernie? Is it like a riddle or something?
I mean, if I said it, would you believe me?
You wouldn't, would you?
Well, I mean, it's a character thing, Bernie. You wouldn't do it. No offense, me neither. A guy like Bubber, though, he's a certain kind of guy. You know, he's heroic. You and me, we're not heroic. It's not our nature. Don't mean we're bad or nothing. We're just not so inclined. What about it? Don't be depressed, Bernie. You don't have to be a hero to be a human being.
The thing is, Chick, I'm going down.
Down? You mean jail for that credit card stuff?
Latex. I see this probation officer. He writes a letter to the judge, says I'm antisocial.
How much pain are we talking about?
A lot.
I think we've all done something very important here today. Congratulations. Thank you. Excellent job.
Flight attendants Leslie and Freddie shake John's hand. Gail's with a police officer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Keep studying. You're going to be a big actor.
Bye.
John. Powerful stuff. Very powerful.
Don't.
Thank you so much. Let's keep in touch, okay? Let's keep in touch.
Yeah, I'm sorry. What's it all about anyway?
Can we go somewhere and talk?
Oh, my goodness.
Just let me get that gunk off your face, Mr. Bubber.
Mr. Bubber. John. Would you sign Kelly's Bubber doll?
Bubber doll.
John takes the doll as Gail leaves with the police officer.
Well, it won't take more than 10 minutes of your time, 15 at the most. I'll buy you a cup of coffee down the street.
John finishes signing the doll.
Gail!
In a cafe.
So, how does this, what's his name, the sleazebag, say he got my cards?
Bernard LaPlante? This bozo got more stories than a newspaper. And one of them, he says he's the angel of Flight 104. Pulls you off the plane, saves your purse, and forgets to return it. And that's version 63. Version 64, he says he kept it to pay for his $100 shoes. He's already got a sentence pending for dealing stolen goods. Listen, this guy, the hero, Bubba, he was a homeless guy, right? I mean, he was down on his luck. He couldn't have swiped your purse, could he, while he was rescuing you and sold it to this guy, LaPlante?
John Bubber risks his life to save me and 54 other people and swipes my purse.
Too far-fetched. Listen, I'm not trying to make problems for John Bubba. I just want to make sure this the plant guy does some meaningful time.
Gail ponders.
Tell me more about him.
At Evelyn's.
Homework. You're doing your homework, remember? Homework, homework, homework. No homework, no zoo trips, no movies. Hello? He's doing his homework.
She holds out the phone to Joey.
It's your father. If you don't talk to him, he'll call all night.
Bernie's on a payphone in the bar.
Hey, Joey, how you doing, pal? It's me, your old man. Did you get the $20? What? Oh, well, she's right on that, Joey. That's the best place for it. Yeah, college fund. I'll tell you that myself. Look, about how I didn't show up the other night. I just... What? You see me out the window? One shoe, yeah, and a mud. So you thought I might have been the heroic guy? Yeah? And what'd she say when you... Against my religion, huh? Well, you know, Joey, this kind of stuff, we gotta talk about it sometime, man to man. But listen now, I gotta go away now on this business trip, so I won't be seeing you for a while. And what you gotta do, you gotta listen to your mother because she's smart. She's very smart. You know, she knows what's best for you. No. 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 No, Joey. It ain't because I don't like you. Christ. I mean, not Christ. You know, I don't want to go away on this business trip.
He looks up, blinking back a tear.
I love you. But I gotta. That's part of growing older. It's all these goddamn pardon expression business things you have to do. Which reminds me, you know, this hero business. One of the things you learn as you grow, as you grow older, is that life gets very complicated. Weird, actually. It's, you know, like people aren't exactly like same. Nothing is. Life gets unbelievable. It's as normal as you grow older. I would have seen you that night. I was talking to Joey.
Your son actually wants to spend time with you. If you let him down this time after popping back into his life.
You gotta understand, it's this goddamn business trip. But please don't hang up. Wait a second, Ev, please. Wait a minute. Wait, just let me say one thing.
She glances at Joey sitting in front of the TV. Bernie stares miserably into the distance.
I had a good thing I blew it.
Bernie's eyes shine with tears.
I just...
His face creases.
I just want you to know that I know that. So...
He blinks away his tears. Evelyn swallows as she listens.
Okay, I gotta go now. Business trip, yeah. Be a while. Okay? Sorry, took so much time.
He replaces the receiver, as does Evelyn. She turns thoughtfully to look at Joey, whose back is to her. Hot tears run down his cheeks. Fat, unkempt Winston opens the door to Bernie's apartment, Gail and Chucky with him.
He's been very upset about this sentence that he got. He's going to prison.
All three of them step inside the dingy, cluttered living room.
Hey, is that a camera you're carrying there? If he killed himself, you could take pictures.
Winston, in a mustard-coloured bathrobe, bumbles off into the bedroom. Gail walks slowly around the room, eyes wide, taking it all in. Winston returns.
Too bad, no dead body. I suppose it's not too often that you guys get an opportunity to take pictures of the body before the cops get here. Exclusive.
Mr. Winston, I wonder if you'd mind if we waited here?
What's he gonna do, sue? I mean, he's lucky that a person like yourself, that a celebrity like yourself would want to even take an interest in him. What'd he do, some kind of drug thing?
We're not really free to say.
Of course, I understand. It's confidential.
She finds photos of Joey.
Okay. It's personal. Okay. Well, I'll watch it on television. All right.
He goes.
Okay. What are we doing here? This guy could be ours.
Maybe. I have a feeling he's important somehow.
Listen, I know you're this career fiend, but I've got a wife and family.
Well, you're lucky, Chucky.
They sit.
What's the matter?
The sofa.
What is it?
She digs behind the beige cushions and pulls out the Silver Mike Award. She stares at it, astounded.
The Silver Mike Award?
How did a guy like LaPlante get an award?
For excellence in the pursuit of truth.
LaPlante?
Camera, Chucky.
As Bernie opens the door, he's dazzled by a bright camera light.
Are you Bernard LaPlante, sir?
What the?
What's your relationship with John Bubber?
Turn that.
He shields his eyes.
You?
How did you acquire this, Mr. LaPlante?
Bubber's gonna jump! It's on channel 13!
What?
13!
Officials of the fire department say they cannot rig a net below him because they're afraid it will trigger his decision to jump.
Oh, my God.
Bubber has said repeatedly he will only talk with Gail Gailey.
For God's sake, tell him I'm on my way. Let's go check. The police escort's gonna pick us up en route.
She dashes back to Bernie.
You two, LaPlante, you're coming with me.
Me?
If you're not in that van, in 10 seconds, I'll have the cops pick you up.
Cops? What kind of
business? Right.
Is this America?
Let's see if money can
or is this some...
Here. 20, 30, 5. Chucky, what have you got? Give Mr. LaPlante your money. Come on, let's go.
You media people, you think you can just buy people cheap?
Hey, that's all I have.
That's all, big-time cameraman like you? That's all you got?
In the news van, Bernie sits between Gail and Chucky.
My fault. This nutcase was on a ledge, and it's my fault.
If anything happens to John Bubber, Mr. LaPlante, I will see you prosecuted to the full extent of the law.
What, is everybody in love with this bozo?
Yes.
I don't get it.
Yes, everybody is in love with him, the whole country. And they're not going to be very happy if he leaps to his death because he was blackmailed by some lousy little...
I blackmailed this wacko,
Wonder Boy. Just because the cops aren't here yet doesn't mean you're home free. I'm a veteran reporter. I've seen your kind before, the underbelly of crime.
Underbelly?
In all that smoke and flame, John had a moment of weakness. He was down on his luck, destitute. It was an impulse, stealing my purse.
Stole your purse while saving you? You gotta be kidding me.
And sold it to Mr. LaPlante, the fence, who's now trying to blackmail poor John.
This guy's gotta be nuts. He saves all those people, then he swipes your purse?
Because he was a real hero, Chucky. He didn't expect a $1 million reward. He didn't expect to be lionized press. He saved 54 people because something inside him made him go into that plane when his good sense told him otherwise. He was willing to settle for a few credit cards. They sold to LaPlante for what? A couple of bucks, huh? Give him enough for a decent meal.
Bernie slaps his hand to his forehead.
All this is off the record, Chucky, because if John Bubber lives, Mr. LaPlante is going to offer his assurances there'll be no further misbehavior on his part. And what's more, he's going to apologize.
I'm going to apologize to Bubber?
I could deny I had those cards on the plane, LaPlante.
You could lie, you mean.
Well, maybe I won't lie. Maybe I'll tell the story the way I just did, and everybody will understand John Bubber is an even bigger hero than they thought he was.
I got a kid.
Rise above it! Try to show some decency, for God's sake! You may have killed him already!
They arrive at the scene and leap out. Police escort Gail to the hotel, while other officers grab Bernie. Gail runs back to his aid. Grabbing the lapels of Bernie's Mac, Gail pulls him through the crowds by the main door, including James Conklin, the other Channel 4 reporter.
That was Channel 4's Gail Gailey being escorted into the hotel by police officers. Gail, who was rescued from the plane crash by John Bubber, has a special relationship with the Angel of Light 104. Now, as to what she might be doing here at the hotel, that...
Gail's pointed down a corridor. She drags Bernie after her as she hurries into John's suite. A gray-haired man approaches.
He will only talk to you, Miss Gailey, and he won't move any closer. So if you'll just lean out, we'll hold you from behind. Fellas, give us a little side. Let her in there.
She pushes past a fireman at the window and leans out. John's about 5 yards away.
John, I'm here. Don't do it. Everything's okay.
He turns and steps towards her. Taking an envelope from his back pocket, he puts it down on the narrow ledge.
I want you to know I never meant to hurt you. This is for you. It'll explain everything.
He walks coolly away.
John, I know the whole story.
You do?
As he turns, he loses his footing and desperately flails his arms.
John! It's okay. It's nothing. It was a moment of weakness. A little mistake. People will understand.
A little mistake?
You're being too hard on yourself. I have him here, the little creep, the guy who's trying to blackmail you. I brought him here.
Hold on. Come on.
Bernie yanks her away from the window and climbs out.
Oh, LaPlante.
Come on, John. I don't like heights. Listen, LaPlante, I'm sorry. It's all in my letter there to Miss Kelly. I was all wrong.
Turn that thing off. I wanted to jump.
Chucky's filming.
Go on, get out of here. Both of you. John. I just want to talk to you for a minute, and then you can jump. You can jump twice for all I care.
Up from there.
You can talk from there.
There is someone out on the ledge with Bubber.
Gale runs to a TV.
Sometime from the police or fire department. He is moving toward Bubber, crawling. He does not appear to have a safety rope tied to him. And as we've explained, the fire department has...
I'm sorry, I had the shoe. You told me you didn't want any publicity because of your legal problems.
I don't recall saying I didn't want $1 million.
I didn't expect them to go for it. And then you didn't come forward and they investigated my war record. And I kept expecting you to come out and expose me. Where you been?
Bernie looks down at the sea of people below.
Oh, this is crazy. We could fall off of here.
You should go inside. You're risking your life again.
I'm beginning to be aware of that, John.
Taking a deep breath, Bernie crawls further towards him.
Listen, I'm not going to do nothing heroic here. You can trust me on that, buddy. Now, why don't we sit down for a while? You know, you could, like, rest up for the jump. Huh?
John sighs and slides down the wall to sit on the ledge.
I was dirt poor and useless, but I was honest.
Oh, lighten up, John. You think you've got problems?
A cameraman's raised up on a cherry picker to get a better shot. Bernie rubs his face, turning it black.
I'm the guy with the problems.
Joey watches the scene on his little TV.
We still don't know why John Bubber, hero to the nation, stepped out onto the ledge 15 stories above the street more than an hour ago. But we now have the identity of the man who has been talking to him for the last 15 minutes at great personal risk. He has been identified as Bernard LaPlante, former employee of Gumber.
Mom! It's my father!
Just tuned in.
Bernie?
John Bubber,
his attorney and partner.
He's one of your clients.
LaPlante?
The judge.
I'm gonna grab some high ground, get a hot overhead angle.
Gale nods and Chucky runs off. Gale stares at Bernie's grime-covered face on the TV screen and stands up in horror. Gale races over to the window, leans out, and watches grubby-faced Bernie put his hands over his head as he explains something to John. John spots Gale, and Bernie turns round to glare at her before carrying on with his explanation. A tear runs down Gale's cheek as she watches. Evelyn studies Joey's small TV screen.
It is him. What's he doing up there, Mom?
Where's your coat? Get your coat.
As long as he police has, and he's fire a officials.
Good sign, since he has not jumped. He says that if a man doesn't jump immediately, there is a chance that he won't jump at all.
A man who claims he is an expert lip reader reports that John Bubber and Bernard LaPlante are discussing religion as they sit on the ledge.
You stole her purse while you were saving her?
What's the big deal? You decided to pretend you were me. A little moment of weakness, right? So I sort of swiped a purse. I got feet of clay too, buddy.
And now she thinks you're blackmailing me.
She don't like me, John. And she ain't alone. Guess it's kind of a personality thing. Look at those maniacs down there. They love you, for Christ's sake.
I can't face those people now. The looks in their eyes after the trust they gave me.
Great, you make this big goddamn mess and then you jump. Beautiful. Listen, John, I was there at the hospital today. You inspired this kid to live.
John's surprised.
I probably would have vomited on him.
Alan? Alan's okay?
See what I mean? You remember his name, for Christ's
sake. Yeah, but you're the guy who got those people out of the plane, LaPlante, not me.
You would have gone in there. You wouldn't have thought twice. That's the kind of guy you are. Trust me on that.
So what do we do now?
Well, the blackmail thing don't sound like such a bad idea.
What do you mean?
Well, you still got some of the money left, don't you?
There's a lot of it left. What are you getting at?
You see, the TV lady, she thinks I'm blackmailing you because you swiped a purse while you were saving her, and she thinks I know you swiped it because you sold to me before you heard about the $1 million. But what she don't know is that I really am going to blackmail you. Because I swiped a purse because it was me on the plane. You see what I mean?
You want me not to jump and keep on lying and pay you to keep your mouth shut? You are crazy. Why?
Because I don't need your problems, John. All these fans, I just want some of the money, not even all of it. Here's what I got in mind.
What do you mean? What do I want to know? I want to know everything. Who's this screwball LaPlante, for Pete's sake? What the hell are those two bozos chattering about? What?
You can't hear them? Read their lips. You're a reporter. Improvise.
This is not a news story. This is real life.
Don't crack up on me now.
Why would I? Why would I? I'm a professional. I'm a cynical, hard-bitten professional hard-ass, aren't I? A cold, ambitious bitch or something. Isn't that what everybody says?
No, Gail, you are none of those things. You are a goddamn cream puff. You're a marshmallow. That's why everybody loves you. Now try and be a professional marshmallow and get out there and report the goddamn human drama.
Gail looks out of the window.
Dad!
She paces the room and puts the phone back to her ear.
I quit, Dick.
You can't quit. It's unprofessional.
I don't know why he's up there. Maybe he misses you. He wanted to see you the other night. I wouldn't let him. Oh, God, maybe it's my fault. And he's all alone. He's getting older. And I thought you hated him. No, I don't hate him. He just makes me angry. He's just selfish and self-centered and cynical.
What's cynical?
It's when you say everybody else cheats. Why shouldn't I? But he does have his good side. He does. It's just hidden. He just... Like when you were in the hospital and you had your appendix out and he stayed by your bed the whole night long and he hates hospitals. Oh, God, it just seems like your father's at his best when there's a crisis. When something goes really wrong or there's some kind of emergency, your father, he just forgets to be Bernie LaPlante and acts sort of like a human being. Look!
Joey points at his TV.
Oh, God, what is it?
Something's going on. He seems to be calling out to them and now... He's holding up two fingers. He's signaling something, holding up two fingers.
There are firemen leaning out the window. They have what appear to be long
poles. What's happening?
And they're reaching the poles toward the two men on the ledge. There's something at the tip of the poles. It looks like...
Evelyn stopped her car.
It looks like, I think it's... Wait a minute, I have a report here. Coffee. It's coffee. We're told that Bupper and LaPlante asked for two
coffee.
Cups
it's just
coffee.
Like your father to request something totally inappropriate. Thousands of people are watching and he wants a cup of coffee.
A pole's reached out to Bernie with a coffee. Bernie goes to take it, quickly removes his fingers with a scowl and shakes them before gingerly taking the hot cup from its base. He raises his cup to the cheering crowds, a Channel 8 news reporter.
We have just learned that LaPlante is a convicted felon. Due to be sentenced tomorrow for trafficking in stolen goods. To thrice convicted...
Gail should have aired that bit first. She's the one who found this clown LaPlante. She let Channel 8 get a beat on us.
Deke, what if Bubber has got something to hide? What if he's the wrong guy, not really the hero?
Hell of a story.
No, Deke, that is not a good story. We backed this guy. He's our boy. We gave him a vote of confidence. We gave him $1 million.
On the ledge.
You got it? Four-year scholarship to a top college plus medical school or law school or whatever Joey wants. Pay off the $2,500 to my attorney, plus pay her fee in full, plus my annual consultancy.
Plus giving a deposition to the judge on your behalf, Bernie. It is not gonna work.
Are you kidding? The judge gets a testimonial from John Bubber. You think he's not gonna lighten up, suspend my sentence for the angel of Flight 104?
That's not what I mean. The scam. I'm not comfortable.
Why should you be comfortable? Uncomfortable is how you should be. Besides, how comfortable do you think you're gonna feel if you jump off of here, breaking the hearts of millions, and leave Bernie LaPlante vomiting on little kids instead of inspiring them? Do you think I'd give a cent to charity? Help out veterans, give donations to the homeless? John, I'm not a nice guy. You're the nice guy. Now do your job.
Okay.
Be a hero.
Better get rid of your confession. Are you gonna be all right with me receiving all the credit?
Hey, I don't take credit. I'm a cash kind of guy. Now what do you say? We got a deal.
You sure we can pull this off?
John, you're sitting on a ledge about to jump to your doom. I'm about to go to prison. What exactly have we got to lose?
John eyes Bernie anxiously. Bernie holds out his hand. Finally, John takes it.
They're getting to their feet. Carefully.
Shaky TV pictures show the two men standing up. Bernie looks down. A sudden bout of vertigo and Bernie falls forwards, John just catching him in time.
I was really dumb coming out here on this ledge.
Evelyn and Joey are now in the crowd below.
Oh my God, Bernie.
John and Bernie start to sidestep cautiously along the ledge. A fireman crawls after them, scraping his foot. Bernie swings round, startled, losing his footing and falls. He clings to the ledge with his hands.
Oh my God! John, grab him! Don't grab him, don't! No, grab him, grab him! Yes, grab him!
A fireman holds out a pole.
Look, grab this now and save yourself. You can't help him. He's going to pull you over.
Bernie clings on by his fingertips. John holds out his hands.
No, never reach out!
Crouching right down, John grabs one of Bernie's hands. His face dripping with sweat, John pulls with all his might, shutting his eyes as though in prayer. People in the crowds below watch in petrified horror. The fireman calls to John.
I'm gonna put this line around you.
Put the line on him!
You can't help him, he's gonna pull you off!
If he goes, I go. You got that?
He's gonna pull you off!
Put the line on him!
Yes, sir. I got it.
A bearded man in the crowd crosses himself. Chucky stands by a neon sign, his camera on his right shoulder.
Zooming in tighter yet, captures the stark drama at great personal risk. Was I afraid? Well, at moments like that, you don't think about yourself. You think about the focus. You think about F-stop. You think about the 11 o'clock news. Everybody counting on you.
Rope loops are extended towards Bernie's legs.
Looking good, partner. Hang in there.
You're a goddamn saint, John. Pardon the vulgarity.
Later at a press conference.
Well, it's true that I saved Bernard LaPlante's life just now, but I couldn't have done it if he hadn't saved my life first. You see, I had a terrible moment of weakness, and I was feeling, I guess you'd call it, overwhelmed by the pressures of fame and celebrity. I didn't feel quite adequate. I wasn't measuring up to people's expectations of my image, and I was going to take that despair out on the ledge.
Gail opens the door.
How'd you get in?
Doing that, I snuck in.
This is private here. No media.
Was it you?
Bernie looks up at her.
On the plane. Who saved my life?
Bernie wanders away from her.
Look, lady, I don't give no interviews. I got an attorney. You got any questions, you could talk to her.
Mr. LaPlante. Bernie. I want to just for a minute talk to you like a human being, not a reporter. I'm somebody who was going to die in a burning plane. And I looked up, and this man came out of the smoke. His face was all covered with mud and soot. And he saved my life. Off the record. Was it you?
Off the record. What's that, like, timeout?
Just means it's between us. Doesn't leave the room.
Staring suspiciously at Gail, and with John's press interview going on in the next room, Bernie sits down in an armchair.
Lady, do I look dumb enough to run into a burning plane and save a bunch of strangers? I ain't the type.
Gail regards him steadily. Her expression a mixture of disappointment and respect, Gail looks down and turns away from Bernie. Bernie looks at the TV.
We're standing here in the lobby of the hotel with Evelyn LaPlante, who says that she is the wife of the mysterious Bernie LaPlante.
Ev.
Mrs. LaPlante has just told me that Bernard LaPlante spoke to her earlier today about going away on a long trip and wanting to say goodbye to his 10-year-old son, Joey.
Joey.
I didn't know Bernie would try to jump off a building. I didn't
jump.
Understand. I just thought he was up to his old...
There you go, TV. You know, see that? You can't believe one word you hear on TV.
Gail eyes him.
Bernard LaPlante is a decent, wonderful human being. You just have to know.
I guess you love your father too, huh, Joey?
You leave my boy alone.
My dad's great. He took me to the zoo.
How did you feel, Joey, seeing your dad up there on that ledge?
I was scared, but...
But what, son?
But I knew John Bubber would save him.
Stock still, Bernie stares at the screen in regretful confusion.
I think you should at least tell your son about his father.
Bernie turns to Gail, who nods at him and goes to the door. His eyes wet and blinking rapidly, Bernie turns back to the TV.
Off the record, thank you for saving my life.
You're welcome.
She looks back at him and beams. He glances up at her, his lips pursed. Gail opens the door to the next room. John turns to look at her and catches sight of Bernie too.
Homeless, veterans, elderly. We're even funding a group for the protection of small animals.
Gail shuts the door.
Mr. Bubber. Mr. Bubber.
Hello, Miss Gailey. Do you have a question for me?
Everybody thinks of you as a hero, Mr. Bubber. How do you see yourself?
He looks down as he thinks.
I think we're all heroes if you catch us at the right moment. We all have something noble and decent in us trying to get out, and we're all less than heroic at other times.
He's on TV.
It's the media that notices one person, one moment, and not another. I'm just like the next person, full of frailty, with some courage, some decency mixed in. You think I'm a hero. To me, a hero is just a symbol of what's good in all of us. You're looking at me, and maybe you just notice what's good in yourself.
Well, it's complicated. Maybe when you go to college. You're gonna go to college, right? You gotta go to college. I got it all fixed up. Your mom and I want you to go. Now listen, Joey. What I'm gonna tell you now is off the record, okay? You know what that means. It means that don't leave this room. Or whatever this is. Sue, strict confidence, right? Remember that night it was raining like a son of a bitch, and I didn't show up on time to take it to the movies? The night of the plane crash where you seen on TV where John Bubba saved all this people? Well, the thing about TV is you don't want to believe what you see. Not always. Not if you're smart. Now, what really happened is...
A marching band walked past. Sitting on a bench in the sunshine, Bernie throws his arms around dramatically as he describes the event to Joey.
And that's what really happened. Wow.
But you always said keep a low profile.
Right.
And you said never stick your neck out.
Right.
Well, how could you go on a burning plane and save 54 people?
Well, I screwed up.
My daughter fell in the lion's cage!
The zookeeper, lady, call the zookeeper. Hey! Somebody call a zookeeper, for Christ's sake!
Please! Please, my little girl, she fell in the lion's cage! Help me! Please!
Oh, for Christ's sake. Here. Watch my shoes.
He stomps off. The end. ITFC audio description by Mark Leavesley was read by T. Vickers.